Ramsey TV.
The imposing architecture of tyrannical institutions. It's required, it's common, it's part and parcel of the intimidation factor. Yesterday I talked about fear and the tyrannical institutions of our world, their use of fear to control you. The list again was spiritual institutions, political slash social, environmental, information tyranny, and medical tyranny. Associated with these things are grand edifices. It's part of it. It's needed for the deception to be convincing, because people are impressed by architecture. Simple. That's it. When we read in Ephesians about the systematizing of the deception, people need deception to be orderly. They need it to be impressive. They need it to be big. They need it to be shiny. They need it with columns and with marble. And then they're in awe of it. This is, Satan knows this. And these institutions know it. This is Martin Zender, by the way. You're at MZTV. But that's enough of that. My favorite movie, of course, The Wizard of Oz, perfect example. What does the wizard do? We know it by the end of the movie, spoiler alert, okay, spoiler alert, The Wizard of Oz is a little old man behind a curtain. But he scares the crap out of Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion, who's already scared anyway, but this takes him over the top. By what? An imposing edifice. When you see Oz from a distance, as you're meandering down the yellow brick road, it just about makes you pee your lion costume, because it's emerald. Well, it's the Emerald City. The Emerald City. And when you go into the Great Hall to have an audience with the great and powerful...
The great and powerful Oz.
It is, once again, the Tin Man pees himself and starts to rust. It's imposing. And everything's built for that purpose. The shiny floors, the great columns that flank the scary face of the wizard. And the thing is, it's all an imitation of the true, because God himself ordered the building of a great temple. And he ordered the priests of that temple to wear intensely decorative and fine clothing. So there's a truth to it, but these institutions have stolen that truth and they've perverted it and they've used it because they know it's effective and they know, well, it has an element of God in it. All lies have an element of truth. So they hijack it and they use it for their own devious purposes. Before I get into more detail on this, I had a thought the other day about, again, the medical masks. It makes me sick when I see people decorating them, when I see people turning it into a fashion statement, when people make fun little statements or they put decorations on them. And I see mannequins at clothing stores, and the mannequins who are in the latest fashion from Paris have masks on, and it's just infuriating. And I thought of an analogy. It's like the Jews in the World War II era who were forced to wear the yellow star. It was sewn onto their clothing, required by the government to identify them, to set them up and subject them to ridicule, to mark them easily when it was time to deport them, send them off to the concentration camps. That's why they had the stars. It was forced. Even babies in prams were forced to wear the star. It was usually a garish yellow color. It was not a pretty thing. And I thought the analogy here would be if the Jews of the 1930s and 40s, if they had begun to decorate the stars. Oh, look at mine. I put little silver sparkles on it. Oh, well, I have a little white fringe that I sewed onto mine. Oh, I hung Christmas ornaments from mine. Someone could say, well, they're just making the best out of a situation. were that to happen. They're just making the best. No, I disagree. I completely disagree. It's an acceptance of tyranny to do that. It's not making the best out of something. I've often said, maybe I'm not said it lately to you, that I think anyone who's at peace in this world, anyone who accepts this world, anyone who just flits through this world happily going along and making the most out of it, I think that's problematic. I think it shows the love of the world. There needs to be a strain against the bonds. Yes, we're in bondage down here. We're in bondage to death, to sin, to mortality, i.e. death. And I think that if we have a yearning for a better thing, for putting on immortality, then we will strain against these bonds. It will be a healthy straining. It will be a healthy discontent. I know Paul says, be content in all things. But within that general contentment of, this is my home and I can't kick hard against it because God put me where I am, I think there's a place for a healthy discontentment, a pushing against the mortality. Why else would Paul say, follow this, why else would Paul say in Romans 8 that we're groaning? All creation is groaning. That's the opposite of all creation is celebrating. All creation is embroidering mortality. All creation is putting sparkles on their little yellow stars. All creation is trying to make a fashion statement with their stupid medical masks. No, all creation is groaning. This is a good thing. It's good. It's like the saying, in the world, but not of the world. You're in it. So in that sense, you're accepting of it, but you're not of it in that you haven't settled in. And that gets down now to the buildings, settling in. This is what institutions will do. The first thing that truth does when it devolves into an institution is it builds a basement. It builds a man-made foundation, not a godly foundation. And I remind you of how the disciples pointed out the temple to our Lord. Remember, I'll put the verse down here. Lord, look at this magnificent temple. Isn't it wonderful? And Jesus said to them, look at it now. Not one stone is going to be left upon another one. And we know that it was destroyed 40 years later in 70 AD by the armies of Rome under Titus, destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. This is what God thinks of buildings. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 17 on Mars Hill, says God does not live in temples made by human hands. There's a new truth in town, and that is that God does not live in buildings anymore. He inhabits us. The Spirit makes its home in us. The Spirit dwells in us. There was a time when God did dwell in the temple, even in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles in Israel was a reminder. They were to build booths. They were to build primitive little structures to remind them of the time they were in the wilderness and God took care of them. Some of the greatest memories I have are from my bicycle trip across the United States in 1980, living in a tent. Life was simple in a way. I was mobile. I was free. I could pitch my house wherever I needed to, and I took it with me. There's something about that that's appealing, and other people thought so too. People would look at me when I came to park my bike at a grocery store to go in and get orange juice and cookies. They just looked wistfully, like, boy, that guy's living a romantic life. Well, truth is that way. It's always moving. Our Lord had no place to lay his head. He said, the foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Buildings are out right now. Buildings are out. And yet they tell us that God lives in man-made temples. There's a church on every street corner. No matter where you go, it's all about the building. And oh, they decorate the buildings. The great cathedrals of the world. Let's go down the list again of the spiritual, political, environmental, informational, and medical tyranny that we're suffering under today. And let's look at their architecture. Because in every case, you'll find the architecture is magnificent because that seduces human beings. the spiritual world, the religious world. Oh my God. St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. I mean, I don't know how any rational person can walk up there realizing that that was built on the backs of people's indulgences, was built on the backs of fear and guilt, guilting people to give money to that church. And of course, we know that church is of Satan. It's the mother of whores. We know that the Catholic Church is. And no surprise then, it shouldn't be, that it has the most magnificent structure of any of the buildings of Christendom. And I suppose if I went there, I probably would go, wow, that's amazing. And then I would quickly regain my senses and realize that the more ornate the outside is, the more dead the inside is. Jesus told us that principle when he said that the priests would decorate the temple, decorate the tombs, whitewashed sepulchers, he called them. This is what they do. They beautify the outside, they polish it, they glamorize it, but inside it's full of death. Same thing with these masks. They glamorize it, they decorate it, but it's death inside. You're being controlled, you're being used, you're a pawn in the hands of tyrants. You're a chess piece in the clutches of dictators. Don't bend to it. That's why I refuse. When I have to wear a mask in certain stores, I just use the crappiest, stupid, run-of-the-mill medical mask. I hate it, but there's no way I'm going to get some custom-made mask with decoration on it. I see these women, they have flowers on theirs. People have faces, like little dog faces, little cat faces. Isn't that clever? Some of them are funny. I got to admit, yeah, they're funny. You look at them, it's funny. But then you get a grip on yourself and you go, wait a minute. It's like painting a face on the Star of David. It was a mockery of the Star of David, what the Nazis put on the Jews. Look, Hilda, I put a face on mine. Isn't that adorable? No, I can see maybe putting a finger on it, the middle finger. That would be rebellious. I saw a guy with a mask over at the place over here called Tap 42. And the mask said, this is bullshit. Love that. Yeah, it's great. That's good. That's better. That's better. So the structures of Christendom, St. Paul's in London, Notre Dame in Paris. Oh, I visited Notre Dame in Paris. I was happy when it burned up. Glad nobody was hurt, but yeah, burn them all to the ground. I'm not calling for it. God himself is going to knock them down. No, there's no need for anybody to do that. God's going to knock them down during the tribulation. I remember, though, standing there as a stupid 18-year-old thinking, this is a holy place. Oh, it's holy because they intimidate you. They intimidate you with the vastness of it and the gargoyles and the vaults, the flying buttresses. It's all the flying bullshit is what it is. So it's easy to spot. Oh, the Crystal Cathedral, more modern buildings. Where am I? In my car. Where have I broadcast to you from? From my kitchen table, from behind this wall over here, walking in the cemetery. And some people trip over that. Remember that one woman, she wanted to share one of my videos with her husband because it was loaded with great spiritual truth. And he said, the guy's in his car. It's like what they said about Jesus. He's from Nazareth, isn't he? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can any wisdom be uttered by a man in a Honda Accord? Well, come and see. Come and see. Political tyranny. Well, I dare say that every single structure of state capitals, most of them have a rotunda, a dome. It's polished. It's impressive. I remember I took my son Paul to Washington, D.C. He was still in high school. And he was just so enraptured with the trappings of power. He said, look, we were standing by the White House. Look at that. Yes, there is a certain awe. Of course, I don't deny that these things are beautiful. They're magnificent. Just like the disciples pointing it out to Jesus. But I am the disciple and Jesus in my own person. I can be in awe of it. And then at the same time, I can put on my Jesus suit and say, yeah, but not one stone is going to be left upon another one. And God doesn't dwell in man-made temples. And wisdom does not dwell in magnificent buildings. It doesn't. Wisdom dwells by the side of the Sea of Galilee. Wisdom dwells in the mountains. Wisdom dwells praying on your bed at night. Wisdom dwells taking a walk on the little trail that you like through the woods. Wisdom is here in this car. And if you look at our Lord and his disciples, they were common people and they were discussing the greatest things outside of the temple. When it was time to die, then Jesus went to the temple. That's where you go to die. That's where the fakers live. Whenever you see big buildings, that's where the fakers are. That's how you know where the fakers are. Look for the fancy building. It works every time. The Capitol building in the United States, the Lincoln Memorial, it's all fabulous. I've been to Washington, D.C. many times. It's fabulous. It's meant to intimidate. It's meant to make you bow down like the Wizard of Oz, Emerald City. Bow down to the great wizard. Because look at these polished floors. Do you know how much floor wax it took? Educational architecture. Okay, I went to Wikipedia here. I got Ivy League universities here, and they all have their special places. Widener Library at Harvard University. It's an imposing structure. Look at this thing. See, that's it on top. Underneath that is Connecticut Hall on Yale's old campus. Then we have Alexander Hall, Princeton. See all these Ivy League schools? They're noted for their venerable halls. Institutions of higher learning, they're earmarked, they're noted for these magnificent structures. Yes, and going on, we have the Lowe Memorial Library at Columbia University. It's good. It's great. It's got a courtyard. Look at this thing, Columbia University. It looks like a government building. Look at the courtyard. Oh, Harold, it's got a magnificent courtyard. I bet there's a lot of smart people in there. I bet anybody who goes there turns into a genius. I seriously doubt it. And every single one. College Hall at the University of Pennsylvania. Robinson Hall at Brown University. Baker Berry Library at Dartmouth College. Oh, this is a famous one. You see this a lot. This is a Dartmouth College. Look at this. Ooh. Gotta be smart people in there. Look how tall the tower is. Look at the green grass. All right, I could go on, but I won't because I'm getting sick of it. The real wisdom is in like Edison's workshop where he's taking naps under his desk. The Wright Brothers Bicycle Shop, Dayton, Ohio. Dirty, musty. Oh, here's a picture of Einstein's desk on the day he died. Just an idea that genius and true wisdom doesn't contain within itself the audacity to build itself a monument, a memorial. A structure to make you pee your pants. No. The information tyranny. You have your major newspapers. You always see the New York Times building. It's so impressive. All the major news networks, of course, they have their big buildings. They have their headquarters. World headquarters. NBC, CBS, ABC. In the meantime, you have independent creators, citizen journalists who are blogging and vlogging from their kitchen tables. From their kitchen tables. That's where the wisdom is. Medical, well, the medical tyranny. All the great hospitals. Cleveland Clinic, Sloan Kettering, I don't know. I was born at a place called Timken Mercy Hospital in Canton, Ohio. Here it is. That's what it looks like. That's what it is. That's what it looks like because that's a picture of it. I think people trust... See, people are so shallow that they want to go to places that are big. They want to go to places that are shiny. They want to go to places that have that are made of marble. And the fancier the building, why? The more impressed people are, assuming that there must be wisdom within. Surely wisdom lives here in the shiny, polished halls of Emerald City. Well, according to the wizard, the cowardly lion had courage in him all the time. And the Tin Man had a heart the whole time, but yeah, we'll give you this watch shaped like a heart anyway. Kind of a token, but you know, it's in you. It's in you. You didn't need to come to this big fancy building. The Scarecrow, what did he want? Brains, right? But the wizard convinces him that he had it within himself. But nevertheless, he gives him a piece of paper, a token of the wizard's ability to draw the straw man's attention within and to find out that he has native talents, native skills, that he is not addressed in his life for some reason. Maybe the fireball from the Wicked Witch screwed up his ability to self-analyze. I don't know, but the wizard just gave them tokens. Basically said, you didn't even need to come to me in the first place, but since you're here, and since you exposed my ass and that damn little dog, woof, 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 I'm going to give you tokens. I'm going to give you tokens. A watch, a piece of paper, and a medal. And a medal. Okay. Nice little tokens. But in this day of walking by faith, not perception, we don't need tokens. We sure as hell don't need giant, fancy buildings. Because we house the Spirit of God. And we are far from imposing edifices. We are far from being magnificent architecture. Some of us are more magnificently made than others physically. But you know what? Our Lord, it is said by Isaiah the prophet, and he would have known, was nothing to look at. So the Spirit of God dwelt in him completely. He had the Spirit without measure, and yet he was a man that you wouldn't want to look at. Wasn't attractive to human beings. He didn't live in a fancy house. Grew up in Nazareth, for God's sake. The slum of Galilee. And he had nowhere to sleep. Is that impressive or what? Is that impressive or what? And so we, like the Hebrews, we are seeking for a country of our own. And it ain't here.